All right, here we are. This is AP and Spence. This is we're two lawyers talking college sports and sports law in general. We're going to talk a little bit of both today, actually.
Yeah.
So how you doing today, AP?
Doing well. You know, I'm going on vacation starting tomorrow. Yeah, I'm going to go to Orlando, Florida for a week, Saturday to Saturday. So taking a week off, and so we're excited about that. I got a little hectic packing to do tonight.
A little Disney World action?
Yeah, we're going to Magic Kingdom, Disney World, all that fun stuff. You know, we're going to see some beaches and the Space Center and Orlando and Florida and drive around a little bit, get some sun. It's supposed to be like 90 degrees every day there.
Make sure to wear some sunscreen. Oh, I'd hate to see that dome get sunburned.
Just get tomato red, and I will. I guarantee you there's going to be one day I'm going to forget. I'm going to come back red and peeled. And angry. And I'll take it out on you, Spence.
Hey, that's fine. Yeah, it's no problem. Being a fair-skinned man myself, I appreciate that. Yeah, but, you know, you just got to put sunscreen on every day. You'll be fine.
Put a little bullfrog, 100 proof on me, and lather it up every 20 minutes.
Or you could be one of those people that wear, like, long sleeve.
Oh, yeah.
Like the long sleeve sun guards. Those are not too bad.
I got a bodysuit that I bought for Florida. It's like muscles, and it'll be fully covered in my whole body. That might help.
That's smart, yeah.
Because then people, when I'm in Florida, think, that guy's huge.
Plus, the wife will love that.
She'll really love it. Yeah. You know, that's what it's all about for the family. Right. You know, my kids will think it's weird, but... Yeah, so first time flying in a while, so it'll be fun. And
Flying now is interesting, right? Because as you show up, they have you. We flew just a little bit ago to San Diego, right? So they have you socially distant as you get on the plane. But once you're on that plane, you're just right next to everybody. It's social distancing goes out the window.
Oh, big time. Big time out the window. And I think the rule is you can take the mask off if you're eating. It's like a restaurant.
Yeah.
And so half the people in there are going to have their mask off anyways. Whatever. You know what I mean?
You're fully vaccinated, so you're good.
I'm fully vaccinated. The whole family is. Not the kiddos, but, I mean, kids are kids, right? It's going to be fine. We're going to do the best we can. We waited until we were fully vaccinated to do this. And Florida's pretty open. And if you're not going to go now, when are you going to go, Spence? Because Portland is going on lockdown, Spence.
That's right. Big time. We're going in reverse. The numbers, across the nation, everywhere numbers are going down. Everywhere. But Oregon, and there's like a couple other states like Michigan, and you know, it's interesting. It's a lot of the states that have the most restrictive rules, their numbers are going up. Who knows why that's happening? I'm not a scientist. You are.
I am a scientist. Yeah, Portland's becoming like the epicenter of coronavirus. Like, what's going on, Spence?
I have no idea, but it's really frustrating, and it's killing me. So go out, get vaccinated, you know, wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Follow the rules.
Yeah,
wear a mask if you're out, you know, if you're in groups.
And I know you've been wearing three masks at once, right?
I just do one mask, but I have the beard that protects, you know, that protects me as well.
So. Anyone with a beard isn't getting corona.
That's right. The beard, they don't know. The corona can't get around the beard, the facial hair.
Heck no.
So let's get down to business here. And so we've had a couple of things happen this week. One thing that's college related. And one thing that is NBA related that I wanted to talk to you about in our first little segment here. The first thing is Cal State Northridge. So Cal State Northridge a couple years ago hired Mark Gottfried, who's a big time coach, had coached at North Carolina State, and he was kind of involved in this Adidas scandal stuff. And he kind of bolted from North Carolina State when a lot of that stuff kind of started happening, and he went to go to Cal State Northridge, right? Yeah. So Cal State Northridge says, because of potential rules violations within our men's basketball program, they have directed an immediate, they put all of the entire coaching staff on paid administrative leave while they complete the internal review. So, you know, we don't know anything more than that other than just that statement, right? That was a statement that was put out by Michael Izzy, who's the athletic director at Cal State Northridge. Do you remember their nickname?
Yeah, they're not the Dirtbags. That's Long Beach State. Cal State Northridge is, I think it's like the, I do know it. I feel like it's got to be the Gales.
The Matadors.
Matadors,
you were close.
Yeah, it was something like that.
Well, not really that close, but
it's not even the same vein.
So, you know, coming from your background of, and the reason why I wanted to talk this is because we don't know anything about the allegations. We just know that they're recruiting rule violations. But to suspend your entire basketball program right now, I mean, what goes into making that decision, number one? And then number two, how serious must these violations be? Because, you know, you make little, we've talked all the time.
Yeah.
You accidentally text a recruit that you think is available. Or the other, you know, a couple of weeks ago we talked about this, that coach who accidentally texted someone who thought was doing transfer portal but wasn't.
Yeah.
So those types of things happen all the time, but I don't hear entire programs getting put on administrative leave.
Yeah.
So what level of violations must these be in order to get to that type of penalty?
Yeah, it'd have to be pretty serious. It's not going to be some minor recruiting stuff, some pocket dials. It's got to be a pay-for-play situation, paying recruits, you know, steering people to agents. I mean, I'm totally speculating, but it's going to be something of that level. And now maybe they don't have quite enough information, so they needed to kind of set them aside, let us investigate this. Because you know how it is. You got to talk to witnesses. You got to talk to people. It might take you a week or two to get to the bottom of it and really figure it out.
Yeah.
But then once you've got it all figured out, it's like, okay, this isn't good. I doubt they would have taken this step just to a week later go, never mind, nothing, we're all good. Let's reinstate you. It's probably like, yikes, this is really bad, but we don't know all of the details yet, so let's figure out how bad this really is. And then we're going to probably find out in a month or whatever that, hey, Cal State Northridge has been doing this, and it's a big problem.
Yeah, I mean, you could be talking about – I mean, basically you're saying that this would only occur if they're suspecting that they're a level one violation. Yeah. Then probably multiple level one violations.
Yeah, something like that that's serious. You're not going to do this for level three recruiting, you know, pocket dials, things like that. This is going to be something real serious where people might get terminated, and you need to get them off, get them done, and figure it out. And so this is a big step. It doesn't happen that often, you know, and so, yeah, something serious has happened. They just don't know what's going on, right? And it could be a failure to monitor. It could be a lack of institutional control. But now you can see at Cal State Northridge, this is a program that might have a couple of people in compliance. Right? We've had Cal State Northridge on our show before.
We have, yeah.
And
one of your buddies,
yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, Sharif.
Yeah.
And that used to work at USC. Very good guy. Yeah. Knows what he's doing. But these kind of programs can have major issues too. And so it's unfortunate when schools like this only have like two people in compliance, and you can still have things that can shut down an entire program.
That's right. You know, and I'm just looking, you know, the other thing in this article, they're talking about how, you know, Godfrey was essentially asked to leave from North Carolina State, and he's now brought filed a lawsuit against North Carolina State for his base salary to get back to him. He was still owed about $2.5 million, and you know, we don't know the full extent of what's going on there either. But it's just kind of interesting that he filed this lawsuit in September. He's then all of a sudden, you know, here we are in April of almost May of the next year. And boom, I mean, you know, they're coming after him. And it wasn't like incredible at Cal State Northridge. He had a 37-51 record in three seasons at the school. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, they had some players the last couple of years. They had some studs, actually, the last couple of years. They just couldn't seem to get over the hump, and you know, being the Big West is tough. So,
yeah.
Anyways, we'll see what happens. We'll continue to monitor it.
Yeah.
But the other thing that I wanted to talk to you about is this. Is this article that just, or this information that just came out today, actually. So earlier this week, or late last week, there was another tragedy. I mean, and we don't, you know, these are always tough, but basically there was a young lady who was shot by police who was wielding a knife, and you know, we're not going to get into the who's and what's and why of all of that, but after that was done, there was a picture taken of the officer who had shot this young lady. And LeBron James posted on his Twitter a picture of the officer with a big and bold letter saying, "You're next, hashtag accountability." And then that was the tweet, right? And, you know, you can interpret that with what you want to say, but you know, a lot of people thought it was a pretty bold thing for LeBron to do. He quickly deleted the text, which shows you that he knew it was not a good idea. But the internet never forgets, right, as you always say. Mm-hmm. Now the LA Police Department is investigating LeBron for this threatening tweet, right? And I guess, you know, from your perspective, AP, and this is why I wanted to talk to you about this was, you know, if you're advising NBA players on kind of how to react to social things like this, right? I mean, how are you making sure that players don't say things that could potentially lead to criminal charges?
Yeah, we used to do this at USC and at Oregon State too, where it's the same idea. We've had a media person on our podcast before talking about this professionalism on social media. Now, I don't think you need to have everything in life whitewashed where it's only positive statements and you can never be critical of anything or you can never say anything bad. You know, I think it's okay to express your feelings about something. I mean, if you're...
Absolutely.
Right, you know what I mean? But to an extent, right? Because if it like leads to a criminal action or total embarrassment for a program, here's the difference. Let's say... You know, BYU's playing USC in the football game.
Yeah.
And let's say it's at the Coliseum and BYU loses, right? Because we know that'll be the case, right? We don't know. But let's say that happens and one of the football players on BYU says, USC is a bunch of cheaters. Those guys are idiots. They no way deserve to win. Not a good idea to write that.
It doesn't look well.
It doesn't look well. It's embarrassing to the program. But if you just say, gosh, so frustrating a loss. I thought we were going to be able to pull that one out.
Yeah. USC's tough. USC's tough. But, you know, they came ready to play. We need, you know.
We're super bummed.
We should have won the game, but they came ready to play. Something like that.
So you can express your feelings, I think. You know, it doesn't have to be like, hey, don't ever say anything. But it's a PR situation, right? Everything you put out there is like sending an email. You got to read it twice and think, do I want this to be out there forever?
Right, but I mean, I don't think we would argue, or I wouldn't certainly argue that athletes shouldn't voice their opinions on social issues. In fact, I would argue the opposite. I think that it's really important for players like LeBron and, you know, those level of type players to be vocal and to be, you know, talk about these social issues. It's a huge platform for these guys, you know, and gals that have a following to be able to make some real change. I mean, Muhammad Ali was famous for this, right? Yeah. Like he was against the war. He due to his religion, the Vietnam War. He avoided the draft. He ended up going to jail. You know, but he was an athlete, and I mean, he was lambasted, right? But now we look back at him as this great patriot, because he really was. You know, he was standing up for his beliefs,
right?
And he was this, you know, he was this really important figure, political figure. You know, and I think that there are athletes who are trying to do that, who are trying to be that Muhammad Ali, Joe Louis, you know, level of an athlete making a stand, making a statement, right? Yeah. But I just think that sometimes they need to be careful with maybe going just a little too far.
Yeah, I mean, because if you think about it, Michael Jordan was sort of apolitical, right, in a lot of ways.
Totally. He was totally neutral.
Yeah, and really in a lot of ways, Kobe Bryant was sort of the same.
Right.
He wore this kind of can't breathe t-shirt one time. The Lakers were all doing that, and everyone saw it as like, wow, you know, Kobe Bryant's – because he was kind of just about basketball and Kobe, and it was basketball and Jordan. LeBron's been kind of the first kind of superstar in a while that's like a face of a franchise that's getting out there with opinions and that sort of thing. Kind of aggressive opinions. Now, LeBron James has had a little bit of controversy here. He also had a kind of this clip that's not fully taken in context, but where he mentions, you know, playing basketball and he doesn't want to don't mess with white people. Have you seen that out there?
I haven't seen that. No,
I haven't seen the whole clip, but I've seen something like that. And there was this kind of backlash of, what is he talking about? Not messing with white people? What's going on? Right. And he's also had some experience where people have spray painted derogatory terms on his house. And now he's coming out with your next tweet. Well, what does that mean? Your next. The implication is, gosh, that means you're calling for violence against this cop. You're next. You need to get shot. You need to get harmed. Now, probably the better thing would it for him to be to write is something like, enough is enough. We need to get this under control. We need police reform.
Police reform now.
Yeah. But when it became your next, some people can see that. Because, see, I knew when I saw that, I thought, gosh, that's dangerous. Because there's going to be people in Los Angeles that are going to see that and go, heck yeah, he's next. Let's find this cop. Let's do some damage. Let's say somebody did that. Let's say somebody finds this cop somewhere, opens up fire, kills him. And LeBron James' last tweeted tweet talks about him being next. That's pretty dangerous, right? Yeah. And did he incite that person to do it? The person says, why'd you do it? Well, because LeBron James told me to, and I felt – and we're getting into a period right now. I mean, you know, Donald Trump's been accused of this. Maxine Waters has been accused of this, where there's public figures that are being accused of inciting things.
Right.
And LeBron James now is being accused of this. I mean, what is your thoughts of that tweet? I mean, if you're advising LeBron James and he says, well, hey, nothing's wrong. What? I'm just giving my opinion.
Yeah, I think that it's a tweet that is inciting an intent to act towards this individual by saying you're next after, you know, I think that's dangerous. And I think if I'm his PR manager, if he has a PR manager, I'm telling him, you know, let's think before you tweet. You know, I mean, yeah. we had that social media professor from Nebraska on our podcast a couple of months ago, and she said you know, you have to be careful, right? You have to make sure that what you put out there is stuff that is well written, is grammatically correct, and is not gonna create some type of controversy, right? Yeah. Yeah. And again, there's good controversy that is calling for political change, and there's bad controversy, you know, and this is that bad controversy, I think, that you want to avoid.
Yeah. Even O.J. Simpson is calling him out. Actually, he came out and he was like, "You need to know all the facts before you do." O.J. Simpson.
Yeah, that's
so. That's not good.
That's not good. That's not a good look.
No, now you know. Okay, so from an attorney perspective, Spence, you're an attorney. You're not a criminal attorney. We know
I'm
that.
I'm not a criminal attorney.
And but just your gut is an attorney. Let's say he tweets this, and the cop is attacked somehow. Could you connect that to LeBron James? If he said, "Oh, I didn't mean for that to happen."
Yeah, no, I mean it would be really hard, right? Because you have to, in order to have a crime.
Even if the guy says, "Oh, I did it because of LeBron James."
Yeah, even then, because unless you could prove that LeBron James was directing the individual, personally directing the person, I just don't see it. Yeah. Now, could this be construed as some type of threat, a viable threat against a police officer? Absolutely. And, you know, and that is fair. But that would be different, right? Yeah. If you're saying this police officer gets attacked, you know, whatever. And the person says, while he's doing it, I'm attacking you because LeBron told me to. There's no way. Unless there's some connection, there's some email. But LeBron's not doing that.
Is there a crime that's already happened?
Well, so that's the question, right? Like, what was his intent? You have to. It's hard to prove intent with criminal cases, right? So that's what it comes down to. Now, I have not practiced criminal law in a long time. I did a little bit while I was in law school. Handled a couple of criminal cases. You have to prove intent. So the state's going to have to prove intent. Did LeBron intend to cause violence toward this person by texting or tweeting your next hashtag accountability?
Right. Because then he could say, "Oh, I meant your next, like hold you accountable."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I mean, get arrested.
Yeah, and this, but this, you know, the other thing was that this was on the eve of the Chauvin trial, right? So it was you know, the timing of it is, you know, so maybe he's saying you're next, meaning you're going to follow in the same footsteps of Chauvin and go to jail, right? That, you know, if that's what he's saying, which maybe that's what he's saying, well, then why doesn't he just say, you know, I hope you follow Chauvin and you get convicted.
Or lock him up.
Lock him up.
Like
yeah, like.
You're next. It leaves it open for interpretation where it sounds dangerous.
Exactly. And so that's why they're investigating it. And then we'll see what comes out of it. My guess is nothing's going to come out of it. you know, LeBron will probably issue some type of an apology or some type of clarification.
Does LeBron James help the cause with this tweet?
Oh, well, I don't know. I don't think so, right? I don't think so. I think that it's probably, I think he could have made a better statement and done the exact same, had the same outcome that he was hoping for.
Yeah.
I think he could have said, you know, police reform, like you said, police reform now, you know, dirty cops need to go or something like, you know, something like that. That was a little bit, that was not as threatening. That was a little bit more, you know, pointed, a little bit more political. This was a bad tweet. And there's no way around it.
Yeah. I mean, didn't Maxine Waters comment about the trial? In a sense of like kind of, so yeah, is there kind of a trend of this where people are using social media in a way to almost incite emotional response from people and maybe need to revisit this and maybe teams need to educate pro athletes, amateur athletes on let's not do that.
Yeah, would you, I mean, you talked about it already, right? Like, I mean, today, nowadays, you know, you have your star quarterback at USC could have a Twitter account and have 2 million followers.
Yeah,
right.
Easy.
And now they're not able to monetize that yet, right? They wouldn't be able to monetize it until they're out of school. But if as of right now, maybe that'll change, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, you're instructing your college athletes, and I guarantee you that professional athletes go through the same instruction. But you know, we don't expect, and nor would I argue that politicians or that athletes need to stay out of politics and shouldn't have controversial thoughts. And in fact, I would say the opposite. I want them to give their thoughts. I hope that there are athletes who are thinking and want to make changes and want to use their
questioning
platform,
things
and questioning stuff. Thing, yeah. And we're using their platform to do those things. That's good. That's good, yeah, for society. These are people that are some of the most well-known people in society. LeBron James can't go anywhere without people saying, that's LeBron James, right?
Yeah, anywhere. He could be in a remote part of Alaska. He could be in Maine. He could be in China.
Everybody knows
Mexico.
LeBron. Just like everybody knew Kobe. Everybody knows, yeah, knew MJ.
So these are influential people.
Influential people. And influential people have a platform to make a change. And they should.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you have a platform, AP, to make change. And you should, right? Everybody should.
Yeah.
That has a platform. But you've got to be careful in what you say. And you have to be careful, especially because the internet never forgets.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have to be careful. So when you're tweeting something or texting someone, you just need to be careful that you're sending things that aren't going to cause this level of controversy.
Yeah, because you never know. You never know what could get out or what somebody could say. And so LeBron James is going to have some... you know, this kind of hanging over his head a little bit. And so we'll see what happens to it. But interesting stuff out there.
Absolutely. All right. Let's go to the phones. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right. Here we are. We're going to the phones. AP, who do we have on the phones today?
Yeah. We've got a friend of the show, Alex Collins, or just Collins. Again, if you don't remember, he's a guy that I worked with at USC football.
I remember.
You remember, yeah. You know, and did a great job. Recruiting guru, knows a lot. Now he's at Ole Miss with Lane Kiffin and his staff. So it's Lane Kiffin's right-hand man here helping to do football recruiting for big-time SEC school. Alex, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great today. How are you guys doing?
Oh, not too bad. It's a Friday. You know, I'm going to be heading out on vacation actually for a week. Tomorrow, heading to Florida, so I got a little free time myself. And you know, how's spring football going for you guys? By the way, is it all done?
Yeah, it's all done. We finished up last weekend. We had our exit meetings with players. Kind of went over how spring went for everyone, and now, you know, we ourselves are doing a couple weeks of vacation. So this is kind of our calm before the storm that is coming on June 1st. So it's our time to recharge here.
Yeah, and what comes June 1st?
That's when the COVID dead period is going to officially end. So for the first time since it'll be about 15 months, we'll be able to have recruits on campus and have contact with them. So exciting times for us.
Absolutely. So are you guys going to it sounds like you're going to change some of the stuff that you're doing recruiting-wise that you've been doing over COVID. Is that right?
Yes. I mean, once June 1st hits, you know, the goal for us is to get kids on campus. You know, we've been able to talk to them and show them videos and Zoom calls and all that, but it's really important for us to have some face-to-face contact with kids and, you know, let them see it in person. You know, pictures can only do so much justice to a school like this, so... just an exciting time for us to get kids here in person, get to talk to them, let them know us not just as a face on the screen, but as a, you know, a person or a coach too. So a lot of things coming here.
Are you guys going to be doing camps this summer?
Yes, we are. We're going to be doing camps this summer. The NCAA passed their new rules as far as individual workouts, which is another wrinkle that they've added this summer. Basically, that's going to let us do one-on-one workouts with high school seniors and juniors at any time during June, during camp days. It like, doesn't have to be a camp day, but any day in June that we could have a camp, we can also do individual workouts with kids.
Oh, that's great. That makes sense. So you don't have to do the thing where you have to have the quarterback show up and then you have to have a couple other people and have it be, oh, here's a break-off drill, but you're really just trying to get the one-on-one workout with the kid. You don't have to do that.
Exactly. And even if it's something where a kid says, hey, the only day I can be there is Wednesday at 9 p.m. That's the only day in June I'm available. well, we can have him show up on Wednesday at 9 p.m. and he still gets to work with our coaches and do a one-on-one workout with his position coach.
Oh, that's going to be valuable for you guys because you guys can really have a chance to work somebody out, see what they can do, see how they move, all that, right? I mean,
yeah. I mean, that would be valuable. You still want to get them to camp and let them, you know, be able to do some one-on-one stuff, let them, you know, see how they compete. But, you know, for the kids that just can't make it to camp or are really busy, like, it's a great alternative for them to have available. They've done it for other sports. They've done it for basketball for a couple of years now, and they passed the legislation to move it over to football this summer.
Oh, man, that's really cool. That's so, okay, are you guys going to keep any of your video style recruiting from the dead period into the now open period, or will you find a way to kind of retain some of those cool things you've been doing, or you can think, no, we're going to go back to our traditional ways of recruiting?
I think you still have to keep some of what worked during COVID and kind of adapt it to the next phase, because, you know, the truth is that there's still going to be a lot of kids that we recruit that aren't able to get here or are only able to get here once. And so that's where, you know, if we're recruiting kids from the West Coast or if we're recruiting kids from, you know, up north, the Northeast, you know, we need to make sure that they can still feel like they're a part of this program and what's going on here, even though they might only be able to come down once or twice a year.
Yeah.
So I think kind of the expansion of video usage and Zoom usage will kind of continue. It'll just be adapted slightly to, you know, being able to have kids on campus as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, hey, Collins, this is Spencer. I was on Twitter the other day, and I saw you. You were dressed to the nines in some pretty stylish threads there. That you posted a picture of you. What was that? What was that for?
So we had our spring game this Saturday, and our big theme about the spring game and really in general was we called it the party in the sip. So we wanted our players. You know, our big thing here is we want to make this fun. You know, we work hard, our players work hard, our coaches work hard, but we want to make it fun. Because if you can make hard work fun, you're going to pour more into it as a player, as a staff member, as a coach. And you can get all the benefits of the hard work you put in, but you're not going to be miserable every day when you show up. So the first thing we did is we told all of our players, hey, give us your best outfit for Saturday for the spring game. So we set up a red carpet, we had music blasting, we had photographers out there, and we told our players, just, hey, dress to the nines, you know, give us your best. And it was awesome to see. The players had a bunch of fun. I thought we were going to have to delay the football game because we couldn't get them inside to get changed because they just kept taking pictures out there. But we had a lot of fun with it, and, you know, that's just kind of what we're trying to do here.
Yeah, I think I've always thought Lane Kiffin and his staff always do a good job of doing that, where they try to – well, I'm looking at a picture of it right now. That's great, Collins. I mean, that shirt is good. I like the expression. I mean, it's yeah. – I mean, is that Ryan Seacrest? I don't know. I don't know who that is.
You know? If you want that – see, that's the great shirt for your vacation to Florida next week. That's the – wearing that shirt for 2 weeks straight.
Oh, man, I'm going to be wearing that at the Magic Kingdom in Orlando. That's a nice shirt. That's really nice. That's yeah, that's a lot of fun. You know, and you know, Collins, you're a guy that can get into that, and I think Lane Kiffin as well, and they keep it fun, entertaining. But it also is a good recruiting angle because people think, well, that looks fun. I'd like to join that. Or, hey, that looks fun. It gets kind of Twitter buzz, you know, and, you know, that's all positive. That's all good stuff, right? Because in the end, we're just having fun. We're kids playing a game, right?
Yeah, and that's what we're trying to, you know, it's kind of been our mantra since day one is, just, you know, we all started playing this game because we enjoyed it. And yes, as you start getting to the NFL, there's some money benefits that come in there as well. We're not downplaying that, but we all started playing this game because we enjoy it. It's fun and we love to play it. So can't lose sight of that. And really, you know, like I said, we want to make hard work fun. We want you to work so hard getting better at football you don't even realize it because we're competing against each other, we're having fun, and we're enjoying every second that we spend in the facility.
Yeah, absolutely. What's the outlook for Ole Miss football, you think? What are you guys' expectations?
I mean, I think we've got, you know, just building on what we did last year. You know, and COVID really threw a wrench in it there too. So as a new staff, we didn't have any spring, you know, so no spring ball last year. This is our first spring, so giving guys a full off season to learn the playbook, you know, put on weight and get faster in our weight program. I mean, I think we got a good shot to really impress again this year and build off what we did last year. And, you know, if you watch the spring game, the defense is much improved. We had about 12 new bodies on the defense between transfers and incoming freshmen that were here for all spring. So, and then offensively, you know, you bring back, you know, most of the major weapons that we had last year. So, I mean, I think we got a good schedule. We got opportunities to, you know, win a lot of games. And, you know, obviously you got to respect the SEC. It's never easy, but, you know, I think we got a shot to compete in every game we play in this year and build off what we did last year.
Hey, Collins, what are you guys hearing about the fall? Is Ole Miss going to be able to allow fans into the stadium? Or are you guys anticipating a full stadium, partial stadium, or what are you hearing?
Yeah, as of right now, you know, I think we're anticipating being at a full stadium for the fall. You know, I know LSU just switched to full capacity for their sporting events, and, you know, we've done a good job here with our vaccination rollout, so... No, I'm hoping that come fall we're able to have it passed, which will be a crazy experience for me because we were about 15-20% off fall last year, and it still felt loud and bumping. So I can't wait to see what it's like when it's a normal game day with all the tailgating and then a full capacity crowd.
Yeah, I feel like you'd be at a disadvantage in the SEC if other schools are full capacity and then, like, you were at 25%. You know, like, I don't think that would be a good thing. It's almost like if other people are doing that, hopefully you can do that too, you know?
Yeah, we talked about that too. It's kind of one of those, like, you almost need the conference to come in and you have a standard for the entire conference or else, yeah, you'd be upset if you're, you know, one of the coaches that's at 25% or 50%, but every time you play on the road, you're facing a full capacity crowd.
Yeah, that makes a big difference. Now, Ole Miss, did they roll out vaccines for the players or the school or the team, or what's the protocol and all of that?
Right now, it's available for everyone and has been for quite a while. And I know the SEC is doing some things where, you know, if you have a certain percentage of your team vaccinated, that's players, staff, you know, if you have a certain percentage vaccinated, they'll actually restrict or release some of the COVID protocols that they put in place. Oh. So as far as the, you know, the close contact rules and those sorts of things, those get relaxed as a higher percentage of your team gets, you know, fully vaccinated.
Gotcha. So there's a large incentive to go ahead and get it done. And
correct.
You know, free of cost. And so, hey, now that sounds pretty good. That sounds good. Well,
yeah, and then you're not dealing with the issues of, you know, hey, so-and-so tested positive, and now everyone in that meeting room's out for the next 2 games. You know, sometimes you're finding out on Wednesday or Thursday that you're missing 3 starters for that game on Saturday because they're close contact. So, you know, I think it's a good thing for football-wise, and it's a good thing for just health and safety of our players, too.
Yeah, the players and your kind of just, you know, what you've kind of observed and heard, do they seem pretty open to getting the vaccine, or has there been a lot of resistance to it?
I mean, I would think they're pretty open to it. I mean, I haven't had necessarily a lot of conversations with them about it, but, I mean, I think at the end of the day, I think most of our players would be pretty open to getting it.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Well, you know, Collins, so it sounds like you've got the dead period lifting, June 1. You're going to finally be able to get some kids on campus. We're going to be doing camps, get some, you know, get kind of your skill set going here with when you get the kids on campus, that makes such a big difference. And so I'm glad. I think it's good, right? I mean, do you guys feel like you were hampered in any of your efforts where maybe you recruited a kid, not to bad talk any kid, but you just might have been surprised that maybe, hey, if we'd had a little more one-on-one and on campus, maybe we wouldn't have recruited this kid or we recruited them for a different spot or, you know, anything like that?
Well, I think the thing that hurt us is we were a brand new staff.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we get here in December, really the staff's not finalized till January. And then with the new recruiting calendar, February is a dead month now. So when we first got here, we had no recruits in February. We had one junior day in March and then we got shut down. So I thought we were at a disadvantage sometimes just because we had kids that was like, oh, I got to do an unofficial visit to these 4 schools, but I never got a chance to do one to Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Whereas now moving forward, you know, with this June 1st release, you know, we'll be kind of be on even playing ground. Like, if we make the kids top 5, like, you can assume that he's been to all 5 schools in person. and that we were just, I mean, we were recruiting kids and signing kids last year that we had never seen in person and had never seen our campus in person. And it doesn't really matter what school you're at. If you're recruiting kids that have never stepped foot on your campus, you're always at somewhat of a disadvantage to the schools that they have been on.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. I mean, that's absolutely. So, well, I'm good. I'm glad for Ole Miss. I'm glad these things are moving forward. You guys can use your skill sets. And I know Spencer and I will be watching Ole Miss football with a lot of interest.
That's right. How's the schedule shaping up next year for you guys?
Oh, it should be fun. We get to open up Monday night in Atlanta against Louisville. So we're going to open up in Mercedes-Benz Stadium on a Monday night. That'll be fun. And then, I mean, I don't even have to tell you guys about the SEC West. Like, that's a fun enough schedule right there.
Yeah, every game's tough.
Yeah, you got some killers in that conference for sure, but Ole Miss can be one. You know, and they got the right coach, right staff. It's just putting all the pieces together, getting a little few breaks your way, and having it happen. You know.
Yeah, and that was the exciting thing about last year. You know, obviously, you know, 5-5 is not the goal. We hope to be better than that, but you know, every game we played in, we were in the fourth quarter and late in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, you come out of every game going, hey, if we can get a couple more plays or, you know, we can, you know, prevent a couple turnovers, you know, that 5-5 can go up pretty quickly. So that's always exciting to have that too.
Yeah, swing a couple games, go 7-3 and make a, you know, splash. So, yeah, I'm excited. Well, hey, Collins, we'll let you go. We know it's Friday. You guys got a bunch of stuff in your docket going, but we'll be paying attention. I appreciate you kind of chiming in and letting us know kind of about the dead period and the plans of returning, getting kids on campus and the camps that are coming up. And we wish nothing but success to you guys. And we'll, I'm sure, touch base soon. Hopefully maybe this fall when you guys get going, we can get you back on, talk a little football.
Absolutely. I'd love to. I appreciate you guys taking the time out of your day as well. I know you guys are both busy as well. So it was great talking to you. Enjoy your vacation. Get some sun. Enjoy yourself, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, he's got to get one of those shirts, though, before he goes.
Yeah. I'm going to go some shopping tonight and find that shirt.
Just ask for the sailboat polos. They have them everywhere.
Okay, sailboat polos. I'm on it. All right, Collins. Take it easy, man. We'll see
you. All right.
Bye.
See you guys.
Right,
bye.
Another great conversation with Collins. Man, that guy exudes excitement. Mm-hmm. Like, I can totally see why he and Lane Kiffin get along so well. Because I feel like Lane's cut from the same cloth.
He is. I mean, it's polished. They say they know the right things to say. They stay positive. They stay hungry, competitive, but fun. It's the same idea, right? They're kind of cut from that same. That's why Kiffin keeps bringing him places to join him, right? He joined him at a couple of different places, and so now he brought him out to Ole Miss. And Lane Kiffin doesn't mess around with recruiting.
Right.
So he's going to bring the best people in. And so Alex Collins from Ole Miss football, recruiting coordinator there, works with Lane Kiffin's staff. And you know Ole Miss is going to figure it out. They're going to maybe they don't win the SEC. Maybe they're not going to the playoffs. But you know Lane Kiffin's going to find a way to go 6-4, 7-3 in that SEC. They're going to make a bowl game. They're going to be in the mix. They're going to pull a big upset. It's going
to
happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, okay, so we got two other things we need to talk about before you get out on your vacation. First thing is, did you know this, AP, that the Portland Trailblazers, your Portland Trailblazers, my favorite NBA team, I think your favorite NBA team.
Absolutely. Grew up with
them. Is the only team in the country, the only NBA team in the country that is not allowed fans back into the arena. Did you know that?
Well, not until you've told me, and you just told me, and now I know, but I didn't know that. And it's surprising information for a couple of reasons. Michigan's way locked down, but yet Detroit
can go.
New York.
Locked down.
Los Angeles.
Locked down.
Bay Area.
Totally locked down.
Florida.
But they all have fans going. Yeah. Now, a lot of times it's like 10%, 15%, 25%, and the Blazers brass went through and said, we're going to figure out a way to make this safe. And they proposed 10%. Now,
Nothing. That's 2,400 people.
Less than that. The Moda Center holds about 20,000 people.
So it's 2,000
people. 2,000 people.
That's nothing.
They proposed and they put out an ad, you know, to the governor saying, please let this happen. We want to have 2,000 people in. Now, the Portland Timbers and the Portland Thorns, both soccer teams, both playing outside, they're allowed to have fans, 25%. Right?
Yeah.
But the Blazers cannot have fans. Now, it's an indoor arena. 10% of people, all they wanted to do was 10%. And they were saying you had to be vaccinated. You had to have a negative test. And they were going to keep people social distance. People were going to be required to wear masks. But no. The Shutdown Brown, as she's been called, has said, nope, not happening. And in fact, we're locking down again here in Oregon.
Yeah, starting today. I mean, bars are closing. Restaurants are closing. So Oregon's becoming, I read, that one of the worst COVID outbreaks in the country. And at the same time, one of the most locked down states in the country. So the most locked down state has the worst outbreak. How do you explain that from a scientific perspective?
I can't. Well, first of all, I'm not a scientist, but it doesn't make any sense to me. Because you look at other states that are opening up. I mean, even California is opening up, right?
Yeah, California.
New York City just announced that starting like June 1st, they're going to open up everything.
Yeah.
Right? So you know, we've got all these other huge cities and huge towns that are starting to open things up, and Portland's shutting and Oregon's shutting down. And on top of that, the states where things are being opened up, the numbers are going way down. So
like
I can't explain it. Yeah. Florida, Texas,
yeah,
you know,
Arizona,
and those are warm states, lots of sun. I get it. You know, a lot of people outside, but
Oregon's been sunny lately.
Oregon's been sunny. So I don't know A, why the numbers are going up. Doesn't make any sense to me. B, why are we shutting everything down again? And C, why we can't, honestly, I feel like, and I said this to you earlier when we were talking about this, I feel like the government in Oregon just thinks sports is a nuisance, right?
Like it's just kind of weird entertainment, like yeah, whatever.
But that extends from the youth sports all the way up to professional sports. I think that the government in Oregon looks at this as this is a nuisance. Okay, we'll throw them a bone here. Governor Brown knew how important, right, Oregon and Oregon State football was, right?
Yeah, what's weird. They had a lot of political clout.
Right.
Like football.
What was the first thing? One of the first things she allowed to have happen was that sports, college sports, specifically football, was allowed to come back. But remember, only Oregon and Oregon State had it approved.
Yeah, not Portland State.
Not Portland State.
Because it doesn't have the political clout.
Right. So, but then, and then remember, and we talked about this on the podcast, when Portland State and University of Portland wanted to start playing basketball, they didn't get approval until just a couple weeks before the season started. So they were already at a disadvantage, whereas Oregon and Oregon State had already been practicing.
Yeah, if Ducks football got shut down, Kate Brown would probably be removed from office. I mean, it is not going to happen.
Right, so she knows that. Now I'm surprised that there's not more of a backlash against her about the Blazers. Now, the Blazers have hit a little bit of a speed bump.
Yeah.
They haven't been playing very well recently. I think a lot of the excitement for the season has kind of worn off, and that may be playing a role in why people aren't more upset about this. But
imagine if they were number one right now in the conference.
Oh, my gosh.
Everyone's rocking and rolling. Fans would be in that.
Fan would be there. Absolutely. Because Kate Brown would have people in her ear saying, yeah, you've got to approve this. Just like she had people in her ear saying, you have to approve Oregon and Oregon State to go back and play football.
So it's like it's based on science, kind of, but also just political pressure.
I think.
It seems that way,
it
right?
It seems that way, but that's the only explanation. It's just really frustrating. I went to go swim this morning, but my gym was shut down. You know, so it's just like...
And that's the new thing for the next 60 days?
It's just shut down for a week, so we'll see. Just shut down for a week.
She's extended the emergency thing to June 28th.
That's right.
My birthday. I don't know if 60 more days or whatever it is, 45 more days. But Oregon's not going in the right direction for whatever reason. Lockdowns are happening. We can't get fans in the stands. COVID cases are going up. But other places have figured it out.
Yeah. I don't know.
California has figured it out.
California's figured it out. The California's numbers are, you know, there were almost more cases in Oregon the last, 24 hours than there were in California.
If you had to venture a guess, none of us are scientists, we don't know, but what would you guess is going on? Why is this happening?
I think if I had to guess, this is just a guess, I think more and more people are getting vaccinated, and I think people are feeling a little bit more comfortable, and they're walking around, but they're getting together indoors, and I think somehow that's passing around. But the thing about it is hospitalizations are going up a little bit, but deaths are way down.
Deaths are way down.
Deaths are way down, and so it seems to me like there's probably a lot of mild cases that are getting affirmed, that are getting confirmed, and you know, increased testing. I don't know, but Oregon has a ton of people who have been vaccinated. Go get vaccinated. It you know, go get it done. Let's beat this thing. I'm sick and tired of it.
Yeah, get the vaccine.
But I don't know. What do you think? I don't know.
I mean, here's my theory on it a little bit, is we were so locked down for so long, a lot of people didn't get the coronavirus. And now we started opening up, and before all the vaccines were done, we started opening up, and it circulated fast. And now everybody's getting it that it's not vaccinated. They already got it in New York. They already got it in Florida. They already got it in Texas because they've been open up for a long time. So all we did is delay everybody getting it.
Right.
As opposed to we didn't get it early, but now we've gotten it late. So what it proves to me is you can lock down all day, every day, but really until you're vaccinated, everyone's going to get it. You're going to get it at some point. You're getting the coronavirus. It's going to come to you. And so, you know, get vaccinated. But if it was up to me, let people make their decisions. If you get vaccinated, you shouldn't be punished for the people that don't want to get vaccinated and are causing things to get locked down.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like, hey, no, we're going to open. I hope you guys don't get sick. I think you should get vaccinated. Be safe. But if you choose not to, this restaurant is open. Because otherwise it hurts businesses and it hurts people that have been vaccinated and done the right thing to kind of go with, well, we're placating the people that are not vaccinated and not taking it serious. And so we got to lock everything down.
Right.
And it just hurts everything. And that's not necessarily a political statement. That's just what I think from a business perspective. Absolutely. I just, you know, and from a sports perspective, I think the Blazers should be able to have 10% of people there.
Yeah, if not even more. So Anyways, it's too bad. Hopefully things get better. Hopefully this next week is going to be a little bit better. You're going to be, you know, fun in the sun in Florida. So
yeah, Florida's fully open, you know, but it's going to be weird, but I am fully vaccinated. So is my wife. And we're going to be walking around the beach of Florida and, you know, we'll probably still wear a mask and stuff, but
I think, yeah,
but there's gonna be a lot of people that aren't. Yeah. And so it's going to be weird. But I like how sports are open, and you heard Ole Miss. Colin said Ole Miss football is probably gonna be full capacity. LSU full capacity.
Yeah, well,
90,000 fans.
Maybe we should head down there. It'd be fun to see a game down there.
Absolutely. You know, in fact, we will. I'll say right now, we're going to go to an Ole Miss football game this fall. We're going to go to Arizona State football game this fall. We're going to go to USC game. We're going to go to some games this fall with the staff.
Let's do it. All right. So, speaking of football, last week we made some predictions.
Yeah.
This is the FCS playoffs. There were 8 games. We both went 5-8. Okay, the first weekend, I'm looking at
5-8.
5-8. So we both picked 5 correct and we missed 3. We both missed
5-3 then, you mean.
5-3. Yeah, 5 out of 8.
I was like, man, me have the losing record. No,
5 out of 3.
How's that happen?
So we both picked Weber State to beat Southern Illinois, and we both picked Delaware to beat Sacred Heart.
Yeah.
Sacred Heart, the Pioneers came out, won a close one.
Yeah.
Weber State lost at home to Salukis in a close game. Okay. Now, where we differed was I had North Dakota. You had North Dakota beating Missouri State. I had Missouri State. Missouri State got demolished. North Dakota just demolished them. And then I had North Dakota State over Eastern Washington. You, being a homer, had Eastern Washington.
I did.
So I had North Dakota State. So, but we got 5 right. We have all of our Final Four teams still in. The games are going to be played this weekend to get to the Final Four. We will see how it goes. Now, we both have all of the top 4 seeds going to the Final Four, and then we have the number 1 and number 3 seeds playing in the championship. I have San Diego State winning it all. You have James Madison. Mm-hmm. And there is a bet on the line here, you know. So let's this is serious.
Yeah, the bet is, you know, whoever wins, the loser has to wear let's say you lose, you're going to wear the USC jersey all day at work, and I'm going to wear the BYU jersey all day at work if I lose. And we'll make sure we post it on our page here. We'll put it around, and they have to have it for the whole day. And you can have it on your Facebook page. I'm probably going to send it to USC Football when you're wearing it, because I know that I feel pretty confident I'm going to find a way to win this.
Okay.
It's just how I work.
You got to get James Madison to win, you know, because now the worst thing that would happen would, what happens if Jacksonville, you know, if Jacksonville State or Sam Houston State goes through and wins it all? Like, if we don't pick the right team, like who do we have to wear each other's if we tie?
If we tie, we wear,
because right
both
now
losers.
We're a tie.
Yeah, tying's not winning. Both is losers, so we have to wear it. If we both tie, we're both wearing it, and so that's just the way it is. So we're covered.
All right. Well, I hope that you have a blast on your trip.
Thank you, sir,
and enjoy the sun. You know, and take your time. Try to unplug. Everyone should unplug every once in a while in their lives. And
it's not
I hope
bad.
You can unplug as much as you can this week.
Yeah, it's tough to do, you know, because we're always moving and we got iPads and phones and watches. But if, you know, if you have a family, you got a spouse, you got kids, it is important to kind of step away, take a little time out here and there. We're both hardworking guys. We like being lawyers. We like working. We like working in sports. But, yeah, every so often you go time out, and you heard Colin say that Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin are going to take a timeout. Yeah. Even the President of the United States takes time out. Everybody takes some timeouts here and there to just recharge the battery, spend some time with your family and your loved ones, and then you get back at it. Let's do it.
Absolutely. So everybody, be safe. We won't have a show next week.
Yeah.
So Aaron will be week out of town. Week off. We will come right back in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. But we hope you all have a great day. Stay safe and get vaccinated, for heaven's sake.
Absolutely. And fight on.